What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 99 of The Locker Room. As always, I'm your host, Johnny Lazarus, joined today with Jake Asman and Brett Hamfling. We got a great show for you today with Kale Schwartz, the head of product at my favorite clothing company, Bird Dogs. For those of you who don't know who Bird Dogs are, a really cool clothing apparel, mostly for men. They got the liner on the shorts and the pants, which I like because I like to not wear underwear when I go out of the house, so it's perfect for me. I don't know if you guys don't like underwear or whatever, but Brett kind of spills the truth in the interview that he doesn't have any Bird Dogs and save that. I don't know, Brett. What do you want to say?
I've known about Bird Dogs for a while, and like their product looks awesome. The shorts look awesome. They have like great commercials, like the farthest thing from boring commercials. So it seems like a great brand. I never got around to it, and I'll be getting my first pair shortly. But there's a lot of competition in the like this new age like athleisure company. But
yeah. Perfect timing, though, with Hanukkah here. I mean, happy. Well, tonight's going to be the fourth night of Hanukkah as you're listening to this on Wednesday. Have you guys done anything for Hanukkah yet?
I put up my Hanukkah bush, so I'm excited about that.
What exactly is a Hanukkah bush?
You know, it's a bush where you, you know, celebrate Hanukkah.
Sounds like a sex position.
A Hanukkah bush?
I don't know.
Well, it depends how dirty we want to be on this podcast, but there is a way to describe what the Hanukkah bush is.
I just never heard of it, honestly. I'm not the best Jew in the world, but I've never heard of a Hanukkah bush.
Well, there's a Christmas tree. There's a Hanukkah bush. You know, Catholics have the Christmas tree. We have the Hanukkah bush.
Honestly, it doesn't get much lamer than a Hanukkah bush, at least or how it sounds. I've never had one. It's just a small bush, right? It's a small Christmas tree.
Yeah, and you know, if you watch porn, it might have something to do with the menorah being outlined somewhere, but I'll leave it at that.
I haven't done anything Hanukkah wise really, but I went to Mati Siaho, if you guys are familiar with him. Great singer. Yeah. First time seeing him live. Went to see him in Brooklyn on the first night of Hanukkah. It was really cool. And he's like the coolest dude ever. Great concert, though. And it was really funny. I said to my friend Holden and Henry, who I was with at the concert, like, you know, most of the crowd was pretty much Jewish people because that's kind of Mati Siaho's following. And I was one of the tallest people there. It was like kind of funny because I'm like, you know, I'm like average. No, I swear to God, I looked over the crowd and like I just made eye contact with the other people that are above like 5'10". It was kind of funny.
So he had that one banger like 10 years ago, right? What song was that?
One Day. But he's got a lot.
Okay. But I saw an amazing TikTok video where, I don't know if you saw this, but.
Yep, I saw. I know exactly what you're talking about, but continue.
He was seen somewhere. It kind of looked like a remote island type of thing. No, sorry. He I guess, crashed like a bar and there was live music and they were singing his song. And he started joining in and, you know, he was getting into it. And the live, you know, musician was liking that people were into it, but he had no idea it was Mati Siaho until after the very end. And it was awesome.
Yeah, that clip is awesome. And it is funny because, like, you know, Mati Siaho for the last, you know, decade or so looked like a Hasidic Jew. And now he just, you know, looks like his normal self, I guess. Yeah. So, like, I wouldn't recognize him if I saw him in the street.
Wait, I love that genre of videos where, like, guy is disguised in the subway. Or I think Ed Sheeran did one like an airport. I'll consume any of that stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree. And even like the other ones, like Billy in the Street, when he had Seth Rogen carrying around a camera and he was like telling people Seth Rogen died, and then like Seth Rogen like put his face like out of the camera and was like, "No, I'm alive." I don't know. I love that shit too. I think it's really funny. Even like, you know, the wax museum. I think there was a good video of Mello like pretending to be a wax statue. And
really the same thing.
Well, it's kind of the same thing. It's like pretend. You know, it's kind of similar. Yeah. Similar vibe.
So you like surprises?
Yeah,
Laz. That's your thing.
I think so. There's also like I think there was one with Michael B. Jordan where it was the premiere of one of his big movies, and it was basically just like, talk to the camera, like tell us like what you think about Michael B. Jordan. And they would like say something for a minute and then he would come around the wall. And anything like to get human emotion like that is I'm a sucker for it.
Yeah, same here. Do you want to go into some sports talk? No, I am. I mean, I'm not like I'm really not like big into surprises in general, but when it comes to that stuff, I'm a sucker as well. But like I don't like surprise gifts or like surprise parties or anything, you know.
I've never had a surprise party. I like surprise party for other people. I wouldn't want it for myself.
Yeah.
I never had it for myself.
Yeah, there's too much pressure then to be thrown into the mix and then have to be like, oh God, is everyone having a good time at this? Because you came out to surprise me. I don't like that stuff. I think I've talked about this before. I don't like the spotlight being on me in that type of setting.
Great, great thing for a guy who does a national radio show.
Well, see, that's the caveat. Like that's the difference. You know, like I could control. I could prepare for that. I'm knowledgeable on the topics and all that. You throw me into like the surprise party element or just a party in general. That's out of my comfort zone. Like this is why I didn't get bar mitzvah. I didn't want to like have to worry. Is everyone having a good time? Is my sweatshirt cool enough for you to wear to school on Monday following the bar mitzvah? Like these are the things I worried about. So I never had a bar mitzvah.
I actually took a phone call at my brother-in-law's surprise party. I'm not sure how long ago it was, but like, you know, everyone was in the house waiting and I thought I had time. So one of my coaches was calling me and I stepped out the front door to like take the call. Sure enough, him and my sister pull up to the house and he's like, what is your brother doing here? Yeah. He's like, what is your brother doing here? So yeah, I ruined that one.
So I was at a surprise party a couple of weeks ago and someone ruined it, not right before, but they ruined it like earlier in the day. And it was like a friend of a friend of a friend who like someone said, yeah, bring him. He happened to see the girl earlier in the day. Anyway, she knew, but no one knew that she knew. So she still acted surprised, like jumped up, which maybe is the move. But
I think you just admit it and be like, I knew the whole time. Fuck you guys.
Well, when everyone jumps out and is excited, it's tough to be like, guys, I knew it.
What is the episode? I think it's like Friends when like they throw a surprise party for Phoebe or something and she pretends to do it or something. I don't know. I lost track there.
That sounds like a Friends or
definitely sounds like sounds like one of those. But you want to go into some sports talk a little bit? I know it was a big week for the Mets. I know you, Brett, you're a big Met fan. Jake, I know you're a Yankee fan, but there's a lot of fuss about Steve Cohen. Like one morning he's tweeting that he was so depressed about you know, what's his face leaving? Was it Matz or Syndergaard?
Matz. Yeah, Matz. Don't piss off Steven Cohen. So Steven Matz, who's like, you know, sort of a middling pitcher, would have been like our fourth pitcher, sort of spurned the Mets. Mets thought they were signing him. And Stevie got his Twitter fingers going, was pissed in the morning. And you know what happens when you piss off a billionaire who's also a diehard of the team he owns? He goes out and he spends $140 million on over 3 years on a 37-year-old pitcher. Now, Matt Scherzer is still really fucking good. I think he threw like a 2.5 or something last year, 2.8. So yeah, it's a huge sign-in. Him, DeGrom have been the two best pitchers over the last 5 years. Assuming DeGrom's healthy, which I'm only going to assume, the Mets are going to win the fucking World Series.
I want to ask you guys both a question since you have different perspectives. Are you a fan of how active Cohen is on Twitter, or do you wish he like, you know, didn't say as much and kind of just like did his job?
I'm okay with it if I'm a Met fan, as long as he goes out there and spends money. He's the richest owner in sports. So like the Mets have always operated like they're the Kansas City Mets and not the New York Mets, playing in the biggest media market in the world until now. And Steve Cohen spent money, which is what he's supposed to do when he's taken over a team that's been bad and is underachieved. So I don't have an issue with the tweeting. My preference would be, if I'm a Met fan, that he doesn't say anything because it creates distractions and it creates different headlines and whatnot. But I mean, you rather the tweeting if it means he's going to give Max Scherzer $43 million a year and make your team better. So you got to just deal with it if that's something, if that's what he wants to do. Because you got to remember, Steve Cohen's business, right, is financial, Wall Street, investments. The Mets is like it's a side job to him. Like it's a toy. Like he's having fun owning the team. Like it's not his main source of income. So he uses the Mets to have fun. He uses his Twitter account to have fun. So I don't love it, but at the end of the day, he's not the Wilpon, so it's much better.
I love it. listen. This is all of us when we're young. You want to be the GM of a baseball team, or you want to own a baseball team. Steven Cohen is a Jew from Great Neck who ended up owning the Mets, and he treats it like a toy. You know, that's a slippery slope as long as you're not making the team better, but he's shelling out a lot of money to make the team better. So Stevie, have fun with it. He's interacting with the fans. Every fan wants to feel like they're part of the team. He actually talks to fans and like crowdsources ideas, which is sort of crazy, but it's exactly what every fan wants in theory. So You know, listen, if the Mets keep missing the playoffs, there will be backlash to it, but they're not missing the playoffs because he's out on Twitter. So I love it.
No, I agree. I kind of wish
that create negative headlines, like the things you were saying last year about like the fans, hey, get there early, you know, make sure you buy, you know, this and that, and then they ends up being rained out. And like that's like a small example, but there I'm trying to think of like some of the bigger things from last year. Like the biggest thing being, you know, after they didn't sign Kumar Rocker and he's taken to Twitter to basically like throw the, you know, the entire draft system under the bus, basically being like, yeah, we don't want to sign him because we value the comp pick more because the system is set up for us to, you know, be able to dominate with comp picks over having to pay minor leaguers. Like that got the Mets in some hot water. Like you got to take the good with the bad. Do I think it's the end of the world? No, but there's definitely going to be a time where he says something on Twitter that could backfire for the team.
Honestly, you guys both know I'm not like a big baseball guy, but I really do miss – I went to a couple baseball games this year, I think like two Met games, and I kind of miss just like sitting in a ballpark in the warm weather watching a game. Like it really is such a nice thing. Like you kind of appreciate it more now that it's freezing out here. Jake, I know it's probably not so cold where you are, but you know, just walking outside –
61 degrees.
Like you can't beat that. It's like 45 here and I'm freezing my ass off. And 45 isn't even that bad.
45.
I don't know. Was it colder than 45 today?
It was like snowing for a minute.
Oh, really? It was snowing for a minute. But yeah, no, something about just like having the winter here makes you kind of appreciate those little things.
Yeah, but I'm also enjoying the winter. So I have these windows behind me. I see the snow trickling. I like the fall a lot. I mean, listen, it was really fucking cold today. I wasn't loving it. But I sort of appreciate every season, and then I want to move on to the next season.
Mm-hmm. But dude, winter gets so bad.
Well, the thing is, like, January and February suck.
They're the worst.
November's nice because, first of all, it's usually not freezing. It's been cold today. And then you have Thanksgiving, which is, like, a full week, and it's great. And then December, it's cold, but everyone's just in this Hanukkah, Christmas, festive mood. You know, maybe you do a little vacation at the end of December. New Year's is great. And then you come back, and it's freezing. You have nothing to look forward to. And January and February are a slog and stuff.
Do you guys have any vacations coming up?
I'll be back in New York end of December, coming home for 2 weeks. So looking forward to that. You know, here's the thing though, guys, like that's only like one area of the country where it gets so cold. Like that's why like living in Houston's been the best the last 3.5 years. Cause like I can wear shorts in November a lot of days. Like it was 70 degrees and sunny today. Like we have a golf tournament our station is sponsoring tomorrow. And like, it's supposed to be like 68 degrees and sunny tomorrow. Like, that's why it's like, as much as I, you know, one day hope to potentially get back to New York and do, you know, sports radio, sports media stuff there. Like I want to miss the weather down here because other than like the June, July, August months where it's just unbearable with the heat, like the vast majority of the year, it's really nice. And like my ideal weather might be like mid 60s or low 60s at night. Cause then you could still kind of wear like a light jacket or that sweater weather. And then it's like, it's just perfect.
I do love light jacket weather, but at the same time, like, I don't know. I just wish I could like live somewhere that's warm like all year round. I'm actually going to California on Friday for like 2 weeks and I can't wait. I just like, dude, some of my friends that live there. Wait, what?
Just drop that out of nowhere.
Well, I guess you guys are going on vacation anytime soon. I don't know.
That Brett, should have been the lead of the show.
No, I don't want to talk about
myself.
So
you're going to California?
Going to California. I'm working remotely for the week. Just visiting my best friend who lives out there, who I lived with a year ago when I was out there. But dude, like he sends me a Snapchat, like on the beach. It's, what, no, November? It's December today. Today's December 1st. Like, it's kind of crazy to think about a world where you can, like, go to work and then go to the beach after in December. Like, that's such a nice life.
LA, it's always nice, though. Is that where you're staying?
I'm staying in Santa Monica, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, the thing is, it's, like, nice 365 days a year there. Like, the best weather I ever lived in was when I lived in LA as a junior in college. I did, like, a, you know, an internship through Ithaca College. They have, like, a satellite program you could take in Los Angeles for a semester. So I lived in LA from January to late April. And like, it maybe rained a grand total of like 4 times in like 4 months. Like it was just ridiculous.
Yeah. That's insane. If we got any LA listeners out there, if you want to get a drink with me next, like 10 days, hit me up. Would love to. Doubt anyone's gonna hit me up.
Crickets.
But while we're, you know, let's go back to sports a little bit. Jake, you want to talk about Tiger Woods? Cause I don't really follow golf, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I would say I don't really follow golf that closely, but I follow Tiger Woods and I follow any like big golf story. And Tiger Woods spoke to the media for the first time in 9 months since his accident where he almost lost his life and almost had to get his legs amputated from a car wreck. And He says he's doing pretty good. He says he doesn't ever expect to be like a full-time PGA golfer again, but he thinks that he can get to a point where he could still participate in some tournaments every year. And I'm done counting out Tiger Woods. Like, if you say to me, hey, you know, do you think Tiger Woods could win again one day? I'd say yes. I wouldn't count that guy out. But it was really good to see him just because no one's heard from him for 9 months. He hadn't done any media, hadn't spoken to the press. And, you know, it was nice to see him, like, looking good and having, like, a good grasp of kind of where he's at in life right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like watching golf, and I'm a Tiger fan. I would just say at age 45, like, it's not that crazy that he would start picking and choosing his tournaments anyway. Like, at age 45, you know, even without this injury, I could have seen him, like, obviously playing the Masters and the Majors and a couple tournaments here and there. So I don't know, like, if he actually can play the Majors and a few tournaments besides that, that's awesome. It's sort of tough to see exactly what he's saying here, but if we see him playing in the Masters next year in April, that would be awesome.
Totally off topic, but since I don't have anything to contribute to that conversation, I just reminded myself of what happened last week at the Ranger Islander game. I was with one of my friends, Kyle Pfeffer, and we saw Wally Szczerbiak walking in the concourse. And I know you guys are both big Knicks fans, so I thought you'd find this funny. And we both screamed, like, Wally, Wally. And I guess he, like, didn't want to be recognized, so we kind of, like, hit his face. And we were like, what the fuck? Like, you know, like, say hi to us. Like, we're recognizing you at a hockey game, you know? And
he's like, ghosting you? How can he not be?
Exactly, yeah. Like, how are you not recognized? You're so big and, like, a handsome dude at a hockey game. Like, you're going to get recognized.
So he said nothing. He just pretended like he didn't hear it?
He just walked by. And then, like, 3 minutes later, I was telling another friend that I just saw Wally Szczerbiak. And I literally go to him. I was like, yeah, dude, I saw Wally. It was kind of sick. But he was, like, kind of an asshole. And Wally then, as I said, Wally was kind of an asshole, walked right by me. And I swore we made eye contact. And he heard me say that.
Well, I feel like if he heard you say that, he maybe would have stopped at that point.
I don't know, dude. But either way, so I think me and him have beef now. No, I think we have beef now. That's what I was getting at.
So he actually lives next to Carly Fleischer, friend of the podcast.
Yeah, I know he lives in Cold Spring Harbor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Should I go to his house and just tell him he's an asshole?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Carly could hook you up with his address where he lives and all that good stuff.
But I love Wally. I love watching him on TV. It's sad when that happens, when you, like, meet someone, you recognize them, and the experience just isn't good, you know?
He kind of stands out wherever he goes. I mean, like, Brett, you made the point. He's 6'6". He played in the NBA. He's from Long Island. Like, if he's going to show his face at a Ranger Islander game, even though maybe not every hockey fan's a basketball fan, there's going to be people that recognize him like you.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I was disappointed. So that has nothing to do with Tiger Woods, but it just clicked in my brain, and I thought I'd share it with you guys because you're both big Knicks fans. So aside from the sports talk and all that stuff, I know we've talked about New Year's Eve on here before, and I'm hoping that all of us can get together for New Year's Eve because the six of us have never been in the same room, even though there's only three of us today, but there are six of us in total that kind of contribute to the locker room. So there has been a venue picked out. One of my friends, Holden, who I've talked about on here a lot, he always throws a New Year's party that raises money for the Breast Cancer Research Foundation, and he's throwing another party this year, and I hope you guys can come. It's not like a ticketed event. It's kind of just, you know, you pay money to Venmo, and that money gets donated to Breast Cancer Research Foundation, and you go to a cool venue, you drink and eat, not for free because you paid for it, but it's all included. So if anyone's looking for New Year's plans out there, they're going to be in the Brooklyn, New York area. The venue is picked out. I don't exactly know what the place is because he hasn't told me, but you know, keep your eyes open because a month from now, we'll be celebrating New Year's Eve.
I want to see you in action, and we're going to record a live podcast as the ball is dropping.
That sounds like a horrible idea.
Well, it could be quite entertaining for those who want to hear that.
No, but seriously, though, I know a lot of people, like, stress out about New Year's Eve plans, and there's always these things that are like $350 for a ticket, like whether you know, a lot of people go to Miami and a lot of people are in New York City and just don't know what to do. So, you know, this is just one of those options that it's for a good cause. You pay, you know, I don't think anything more than $200. And then again, you get food and an open bar. So just a really cool option to some good people, somewhat of maybe a locker room meetup, if you want to call it that, you know, if we all go. But yeah, I know just so many people stress about their New Year's Eve plans, I feel like. And this is just, you know, something that's simple and easy.
No doubt. It's an awesome cause, too. And that's a really cool job by Holden doing this every year.
Yeah, Brett, you're quite over there. Are you going to come?
We'll talk about it. I'd love to see you guys. I'd love to hang. Sounds great.
Are you a Miami guy?
And do I In Miami? Oh, it's like in Miami?
No, it's here. But do you go to Miami for New Year's? Are you one of those guys?
No, not really. I am going to South Florida in January for a wedding. And I'm taking a couple extra days around MLK.
Oh, nice.
So back in the day, my family, we go to the Caribbean. We went to Miami once or twice. But I'm around. I'm definitely around this year. We'll talk. I got your number.
Have your people call his people, that type of thing.
Yeah. But I think that's going to wrap it up for this intro. I mean, you guys have any final thoughts before we send it over to Kale?
The New York Jets won a football game this past Sunday over the Houston Texans.
So I bet on that money line, and you were there.
Oh, I was. I was there. I witnessed the greatness that was Jets football in person.
That interception was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
It was, but in fairness to Zach, I don't know why Ty Johnson didn't look at the pass, and then he turned his back. That did not make any sense.
Nope. Nope. Definitely not. But let me send it over to Kale. This guy grew up in Manchester, Massachusetts. That's the second time I did it because it's a tongue twister. But he is the head of product at my favorite clothing company, Bird Dogs. And we're super pumped he's here. Welcome to the podcast, Kale Schwartz. Kale, what's going on?
What's going on? Thanks for having me on. I'm excited.
Yeah, dude. It was fun to shoot the shit with you. I know we met at Steven's Talk House this summer, even though I don't really recall the initial interaction. But I do want to tell that story if you don't mind me taking the first minute to talk here.
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. You can remind me of it because it was a similarly blurry night for me.
My favorite bar on the planet, by the way. Shout out to Steven Stockhouse. But I was wearing the same exact shirt I'm wearing right now, the Bird Dogs tie-dye shirt, which I guess comes with your orders if you get more than three items. And I had just gotten my dad two pairs of shorts for Father's Day. And, I got a couple pairs for myself because, like I said, literally Bird Dogs are my favorite shorts, on the planet. But I decided to wear my Bird Dogs tie-dye shirt out at the bar because tie-dye was very in and still is in at the time. And these three guys, came up to me and yo, sick shirt, bro. And I was like, what are you guys, not fuck with Bird Dogs? And they're like, no, it's a sick shirt. And I was like, I can't tell if you guys are fucking with me or not. And I forgot what his name was. One of them, tall guy. All of them, by the way, are 6'5". You guys are the tallest.
It's the tallest company in the world, and literally. I'm the shortest guy, so it really sucks.
So one of them, I think it was Sam, maybe his name was. He turned his hat around, and it was the Bird Dogs logo, and I was like, "Oh shit, you do like Bird Dogs?" He goes, "Dude, we are Bird Dogs." I was like, "Oh, that's sick!" And they showed me a video and a picture, and I was like, "Oh my god, can I hug you guys?" So that's pretty much it.
Yeah. I mean, that's honestly the douchiest way to introduce you. Dude, we are Bird Dogs.
Yeah. But I thought it was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Hopefully they're a little more humble in the moment, but
And then they bought me a couple of beers, so they made up for it.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Putting it on the company card, I'm sure.
Exactly.
I was just going to say, Kale, if you don't mind, to sort of walk us through how you got to this awesome company Bird Dogs and how you became the head of product, and we'll probably have some questions along the way.
So I've been at Bird Dogs since I like to think my start date was my junior year of college. Mm-hmm. So it was the summer going into my junior year, and I basically had an internship the summer before working in Boston in a commercial real estate company, and I was oh, I'll just do real estate, sounds sweet. I really didn't enjoy the internship, and so I was kind of going through the next summer. The junior year internship was a big internship, mm-hmm. It's usually what you end up doing, and I was I hate sitting in an office, I want to go work in film or something creative, whatever. So I had this really cool internship lined up. I was going to go out to LA, work for a TV show, be a production assistant. And I was super excited, and the whole thing basically fell through.
Damn.
And so I was oh fuck. And it was getting to doomsday, where I was I don't have a job. All my friends are working for Barclays, it felt like. And I was oh, what the hell am I going to do? Uh-huh. And the person you just mentioned, Sam, was one of my friends in high school, and he was actually Bird Dog's like first employee. He was like number two there. Wow. And Sam had been hired after his freshman year of college as an intern, and he like dropped out of college after that and never left. So he just stuck around with Bird Dogs. Yeah. So I texted Sam and I was like, yo, are you guys hiring? And at this point, Bird Dogs was like, I don't know. It was Peter, our CEO, Sam, Carl, and this guy named Jack, who's there now too. Jack.
Carl was at Talkhouse. I met Carl.
Carl. Yeah. Carl's at Talkhouse too. He's the monster. He's like 6'5". He's a big boy.
Yeah.
But Sam was like, yeah, I guess we're hiring. And I was like, all right, like, what do I need to do? Like, I'll do anything really. Like, I tried not to show all my cards, but at the same time, I was so desperate. And I was like, I'll do anything.
We're free.
Yeah. And so basically, like, he kind of like helped me out, went through like the Bird Dogs interview process, which you can assume is like super freaking casual, just a couple of phone calls here and there. And Sam kind of like pushing me through just because he knew that I was like somewhat of a good person and could vouch for me. So, I landed the internship at Bird Dogs my summer, like junior summer going into senior year. And I just like kind of like got stuck there. Like it was one of those things that I like loved doing. It was like a perfect mix of like working at Bird Dogs where you get to like, you know, be a part of all these like goofy advertisements, but you're also learning on how to like scale a business. And at that point we were still pretty small, like and scrappy. Like none of us really knew what the hell was going on. Not to say that we do right now, but I was able to just like learn a lot and kind of take advantage of the fact that there was a lot of untapped like avenues for like a growing business. So like I was able to kind of like open up like doing some like podcast advertising and doing some audio marketing and like turned it into actually like a profitable like marketing like lens for us and like generated actual real revenue. And it was like a really cool internship because like I actually saw the impact I had as, you know, a 20-year-old intern, which in most internships like you don't really get to see that.
Yeah.
And what I was able to do is like turn it into like not only a full-time job when I graduated, but I also kind of like turned it into a part-time job my senior year of college. So I kind of never left working for Bird Dogs throughout my senior year. I kind of stuck around, did what I could while I also finished up school. And then like 24 hours after I graduated college, I moved to New York City and like started working.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was kind of like, I've been graduated for almost 3 years now, but it feels like I've been working there for like ever, like, you know, so it's been like almost 4 years there, and a lot's changed about Bird Dogs, but a lot hasn't changed. So that's kind of how I got started.
I'm assuming you didn't have sort of any background in apparel and probably didn't see yourself getting into apparel, correct?
No. I had no background. I had no background in literally anything. Like I went to the college I went to is like a liberal arts NESCAC school in Maine. So like you could like, if you wanted to like be in like any type of like business or whatever, you would major in like economics. Even though like it has nothing to really do with anything, but it was, maybe you were like a math focus, but I took the most liberal route of the liberal arts where I designed my own major in college. Cause I just like hated everything else. So I designed a major, and the major was like international development, which is like the study of like the alleviation of like poverty and like how to like develop nation states and stuff like that.
Very useful for your job.
Yeah. And now I like make pants and shorts. And I like make those pants and shorts in Asia, which I never would have thought of. You know what I mean? So it has nothing to do with anything. I had no idea that I would even like entrepreneurship or anything like that. But it's now like, you know, something that like I can speak to and love. But no, I had no plans. Like I was really into like theater in college. Like I did a bunch of acting once I stopped playing baseball, and like I don't know, I still don't really know what I want to do, you know.
No, it's funny how these things work. Like, you know, I listened to this podcast about How I Built This, and they interview successful entrepreneurs and businessmen, and so many of these people just sort of stumble, and I don't mean that in a bad way, just sort of stumble into it. Like it was like the founder of Chipotle, I think he was working in like, he was selling like skiing equipment or something like that. Like didn't like his local Mexican place, and then it happened. And so many of these stories, I love how like, you know, you didn't see yourself getting into apparel, but there was an opening and you sort of busted through the door, and now you're, you know, head of product at a growing apparel company. Do you call it an apparel company? Is there something else you?
Yeah, I mean, I hate like every single clothing buzzword sucks. But yeah, it's like a men's apparel, men's clothing company.
It's a culture. It's like a culture company. It really is.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you like dig yourself into it and like actually like can look behind the lens of Bird Dogs, like yeah, it is a culture. Like we are like it's like a fraternity or like a cult almost. Like at least with us, like we're not like there's no work life balance in a good way usually. Mm-hmm. But like we spend almost every second together. Like all the guys that Johnny met at Talk House that one night. Like mm-hmm. that's also like you know our social circle in New York. Like we like a lot of the guys live together. We go out together. We exercise together. Like it's like a 24/7 thing.
I also meant it's like a culture just in the apparel itself, like the people that wear it. You know, like I actually, you know me how many, I've had so many fucking conversation starters just based on like my Bird Dogs. Like it's crazy. I forgot which ones they're, what's the word? It's like the blue liner ones. Like they're, not like pinstripe. What's the word I'm thinking of?
Oh, seersucker.
Seersucker. Yeah. Those ones I commented on every time I wear them, I think. And then it's always just like a conversation starter. So I meant like, it's kind of a culture in that way, just like by the people who are wearing them. Like, you know, I talked to so many dudes that I've just met by like commenting their Bird Dogs. And then, you know, all of a sudden like we hit it off. Like it's
kind of crazy. It's a great way to meet dude friends.
it really is.
It's like, it's hard out there for dudes. It's hard out there for dudes. Yeah,
really is.
Yeah, it's like it's a better way to meet dudes than online. I've always said that.
Yeah, and it's funny too. You kind of skipped over the fact that you were an actor and a baseball player, so you got to talk about that because we obviously like you know we interview a lot of people in sports and entertainment, and you're kind of a mix of both. So when did you decide to like kind of let go of those dreams maybe to pursue this?
Yeah, I like to think of myself as like a Troy Bolton of base college. I'm just kidding. So yeah, I played baseball.
I hit that one over.
Yeah, I played baseball.
Did that go over your head, Johnny?
Wait, what?
Did that go over your head, the reference?
The Troy Bolton reference? I've seen High School Musical.
Yeah.
All right, good.
I laughed.
Okay, I would have hung up right away.
I laughed at the joke.
Yeah, so I played baseball like 2 years in college, hurt myself, and also like wasn't that good. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to hang it up.
Pretty easy to decide.
Yeah. Like our coach left. There's a whole thing. Wasn't going to make the big leagues. So I had a friend who was kind of in a similar boat. He was a basketball player at Bates and like, but he was like a theater major and he was like really, really into it. And so he kind of was doing shows and stuff like that. And I had always wanted to do it. Like I always have loved like musicals and all like, movies, whatever. Like I've always wanted to do it. Never really had the guts in high school or time. And then in college came around. And now that you probably know Johnny, but a sport takes up like so much time. Dude. I can't even imagine at the D1 level, but even D3, it was a serious time commitment. But once it was gone, I kind of like had so much time. I didn't even know what to do with it. So I was like, screw it. I like auditioned for some stuff, didn't get it. Kept going at like because there's so in college there's so much shit going on and then eventually like got in a show and took some classes turned
what
it
show
into the first show I ever did was actually like a student written show. It was like the bottom of the barrel. Like they have like every semester they have like a main stage production, they've got like sub productions, and then like for all the kids who like really suck at acting, you have to go do a show that like some kid wrote in his dorm room. That's kind of where I ended up. And you know, you do it in front of like 12 people, but it was really cool. And I like really enjoyed it. And then I eventually worked my way, you know, up and I did like, some main stage shows, senior year. And like, I actually wrote a play with that person, my friend I was talking to you about, we put it on. It was awesome. Like, turned it like a class, like we made it like a independent study project. It was cool. It was like, it became a huge part of like my life in college was, like putting on and acting and stuff like that. And so I still love to do it. I like took an acting class my first year in New York and still want to like keep it up. But
well, I want to say something quick.
Yeah.
I took a gander at that, exit interview podcast, the John Goodman thing. Is that, that's you, right?
Yeah. So I did an improv podcast.
Yeah. What the fuck is that?
It was actually, it all ties back actually. So that first show I did in college was this guy named Dan Peoples, and he's now an actor in New York, but he has this improv comedy podcast called Exit Interview.
I've never heard of an improv comedy podcast. I was like so intrigued.
No, yeah. he's this kid Dan's a pioneer, but he's like he's a cool guy. But he was the one he kind of dragged me to that theater too. But so in college I also was in like the Bates improv troupe. And so he has a comedy podcast, and that like a while back asked me to go on. And the show like and my episode never came out for so long. And I thought really? I just like yeah, it came out eventually. Mm-hmm. Like obviously because you heard it, but like it took so long, and I was like, oh, I bombed. It must have been so bad.
No, it was like I was just so confused. Like I obviously read about it, like you know, while I was listening, because I was like, when I first turned it on, I was like, wait, what the hell is happening here? But then you know, I kind of figured out that it's like an improv acting kind of podcast, and it was pretty unique and funny.
Yeah, it's weird. It's niche. I love those guys. I don't know if it's like. That's scalable, but yeah, it's fun. Improv is like the coolest fucking thing ever. I don't know if you guys ever like gotten to an improv show in New York.
It's so funny. I was talking literally the other day, like last week, that I want to take an improv class just to sort of.
I can't imagine you doing that.
well, bro, that's why you do it. Like you just like sort of, I'm sure, get more comfortable. Not that I'm not comfortable with shit, but I don't know how long you like it, Kel. Like, tell us about it.
Improv is sick. Improv is like the, I mean, I love stand up, but like improv is all, sometimes stand up sucks. Like, I went to a stand up show last week and it was like, it was so bad.
You don't have to drop the name. It's okay.
It was so painful. No, it was like, it was one of the, you know, like you guys know on McDougal, you guys both live in New York, right?
I'm Long Island. He's in the city.
Oh, Long Island. All right. In the city, you know, like McDougal Street, like where all the clubs are. It was just like one of those. Me and my roommates went to on a weeknight, but it was awful. But even a bad improv show, like you'll still piss your pants laughing. Like,
so my buddy was at Comedy Cellar last week and Kevin Hart dropped by unannounced.
I saw that.
No way.
I didn't see it on social or anything, but that's as big as it gets for just an unannounced. You were probably just at the place next door.
Yeah, I was seeing the guys bomb while Kevin Hart was there. Yeah.
Have you ever gone on stage in New York and done it?
Stand up?
Or I guess like improv.
No. I've never. I would love to. I think it'd be so fun and so it'd be so scary at this too. But yeah. I would love to. One day, it's on my bucket list. I'll think I'll do it, but I don't have any stand up material.
Stand up and improv and just like getting up and like on a mic in front of everybody is such a fucking like ballsy thing. Like it's like honestly, like one of the punishments in my fantasy football league like 2 years ago was like whoever lost had to do stand up at an open mic night and they never did it. Like that's how scared they were. Like they literally
really?
Pussy out of doing it.
We had one of the I watched the guy do it in college who had to like do an open mic night. It's
tough. Stand up.
Yeah, I hate. I actually do hate to like shit on stand up because like, it is so gutsy and ballsy to just get up there. But yeah, I mean, it's improv is really cool. If you guys have never seen, there's a improv special on Netflix. It's like Ben Thomas Middleditch.
Yeah,
Thomas Middleditch. I highly recommend watching that because they are like the gods of improv.
I'll check it out. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's Ben, awesome. And it's Ben Schwartz, so it's it's a fellow Jew.
Fellow, you're a faker.
Sorry, yeah, not for me, but he's a fellow Schwartz.
Yeah, wait, we should talk about that. We didn't touch on that yet, how your last name is Schwartz and you're not Jewish.
Yeah, so my dad my dad is Jewish and my mom is not. My mom's so my mom's from London. She's British.
Oh wow.
And so my dad, they like just didn't raise us Jewish. She's kind of like, she's not religious. I think my dad's kind of like my dad's side of the family is like everyone is like full on, but he's kind of like do whatever my mom says type of guy.
That's not a good thing to say.
in a good way.
You're probably gonna work. Yeah.
he's just obedient, you know, and it wasn't really, I guess for her, like she was just kind of like, I don't want to
It's okay,
but don't spite me for it. Well, it was my choice. Yeah.
Well, you admitted you don't really follow Judaism. I got to admit something now.
Uh-oh.
I don't have any bird dogs. I've known about the company for a while. The branding is awesome. They look awesome. I once, not that long ago, had them in my cart. I picked out a pair of shorts because I love shorts. I probably got distracted because I have internet ADD. Like, I'll be doing something and something pops up and I'll read an article and it'll be an hour and I forgot about my assignment. So I don't know what happened, but I don't have any bird dogs, and I'd love to one day, but I just gotta get that off my chest.
Well,
yeah, no,
you have all the power.
Well, now it's the winter. But I saw you guys have those joggers now, which look awesome.
Yeah.
Are those new to the line?
Yeah.
No.
The joggers are like brand new almost. Like I literally can't even keep them in stock. It's like probably the biggest pain in my butt right now for work. Just like production delays and people are buying them fast. Yeah. The joggers like technically launched in like early September. So they're really new. They're the newest product, and like we're trying to expand that as fast as we can.
Yeah, they're sick. I also want to congratulate you on the New York City store. I want to stop by. I keep seeing the happy hours, but you guys are a little too far up there.
I know. Yeah.
Where is it? Hey,
it's 53rd and Madison, is where the store is. It's in Midtown.
But they've been doing like free beers and free Chick-fil-A from like 5 to 7 on Wednesdays.
That's a good promo.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the guy who's running the store is ripping it. He's like, he's pulling out all the stuff. So we've had like a truck driving around New York City with like a band on the back of it, like for the past 3 weeks trying to promote it. But I mean, like, to be perfectly honest with you guys, I haven't been to the store myself since.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm kind of a fraud in that sense as well. I just it's totally out of my jurisdiction and like not under my area of responsibility. So I just haven't like been able to get up there, but it's on my like to-do list too. I helped paint it and like build a bunch of the stuff for it before it opened. But since it's open, I haven't gone.
Paint it physically?
Yeah. We built out the store ourselves. Like John, who you're talking about, John was the architect.
Wow.
The landlord's that cheap?
The landlord's, I mean, nothing was by code. Course.
Okay, but yeah, you guys are scrapping it. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure the store is great, and I'm sure it has a great vibe to it, and that's a good area.
The store's sweet. It's it looks legit. Like it looks like it's a real store, which is cool. It definitely like helps legitimize our brand a little bit when people get to see it, you know, in person physically. So it's cool. It's the guys in there are working hard, and like it's cool to like kind of have that avenue. I wouldn't say it's like, you know, it's not massive. It's like, it's obviously a small portion of what Bird Dogs does, you know, in the grand scheme of things, because it's just like one location and one store, but it's cool to see, you know.
Maybe we should all meet up one night on a Wednesday night for happy hour and get Brett his first pair of Bird Dogs in person.
Yeah, I love that idea.
We can do a vlog, Brett.
We should vlog. I'm in the vlog game now after my my Halloween giving out White Claw vlog. I'm obsessed with it now.
Yeah.
You're a vlogger? Yep.
He's trying to be.
Well, no. So me and my girlfriend, we gave out White Claws on Halloween, and we started videotaping it because we were getting all these great reactions. Like, people, you don't realize like how much people like or how grateful people are for a $2 White Claw. So we started taping it, and I put this whole thing together for a TikTok, and it absolutely bombed. But it's funny, but TikTok is a weird app. You never know what's gonna hit, and it just didn't go anywhere.
Dude, anyway, I've taken a bunch of stabs at TikTok, and I haven't hit my wave yet.
Are Bird Dogs on TikTok? Is there a Bird Dogs TikTok account?
Yeah, there is. We suck at it though.
Really?
Give
your pitch.
I know. I was just thinking if I should. I'm like obsessed with TikTok. So I obviously do my own. I also help a sports brand out with their TikTok. It's just like, you know, I'm happy to talk with you after, but it's such a frustrating app. You just have to keep going because you don't know what's going to hit. And once you hit, you'll get more followers, and it's a momentum app, but it's really frustrating. But it's the easiest app to grow of anything right now.
I'm sure you guys have a bunch of followers on Instagram.
But
yeah, I've seen it. It's for us, it's just like, we just don't have a person right now. And like, the goal for us is like, we're like hiring and like, we're trying to hire like ASAP. But one of the people we're trying to hire is like a head of organic social. So someone to like spend 100% of their time, like making organic Bird Dogs content for like all socials and under their like jurisdiction would fall TikTok. So, anyone listening out there,
I got your number.
Yeah, post my number on this on the screen.
Can you talk about the content you guys make though? Because you guys do a really good job making like funny videos, and even like the names of the clothing itself is like pretty hilarious. Like my favorite is the Gabe Ruth's. I think it's so funny.
Yeah. The content's cool. It's from where it was a few years ago to now is been really cool to see and think about. Like it's a pretty like streamlined process. So basically like every week we have like a meeting every Monday, and on in that meeting we have what we call like our whiteboard, and that whiteboard is like, you know, it's our, you know, it's what we live or die by. Like if mm-hmm. something's on the whiteboard under your name and you don't get it done, like you're going to get reamed by somebody, you know? So it's how we like violently execute anything. But under that whiteboard, we have a content team. The content team's made up of like, we have like three or four guys who strictly 100% of the time just make ads and content nonstop. And so Mondays, you know, they come up with raw ideas. Tuesday we have, Mondays, like a bunch of raw ideas, and you start to hash out what's going to work, what's not going to work. Tuesday we have a big writers meeting, so we actually have like a guy who comes in, this
Francis
Francis Ellis. He works for us like kind of on like a freelance basis, but every Tuesday morning Francis is in our office for like 3 hours with the content team, and they're just writing like crazy.
He's great.
And he's hilarious. He's been like he's like the bright light we need every week to come in. He's always like bubbly and giggly, like shitting on like everyone as he walks through the everyone's desk in the office. But so yeah, Tuesday writers meeting, and then Tuesday to Wednesday it's like getting props organized and getting all the equipment you need set up, and Thursday film, Friday, Saturday, Sunday edit, and then that stuff better be out before Monday morning meeting. So the content team's cool. It's just like it's super efficient, streamlined, but it's also just like a ton of like writing and like a lot of the Bird Dogs ads you see, you're like, oh, those are silly and goofy, but like at the end of the, like if you like were to extrapolate everything, there's so much stuff that goes into it, and like it's really cool. It's those guys work their butts off, and like you know, for a team of like 2 to 3 guys, they're pretty efficient in just blasting as much content as possible.
I mean, that's what works these days. That, you know, the stiff old advertising of yesterday doesn't work at all. So, you know, you go on the Bird Dogs website and you see quickly that this is a company that has fresh, you know, ideas and wants to entertain while also creating a great product, and it all comes together, and it's really what you need in today's day for this type of company.
Now you're just kissing ass for that TikTok job.
No, yeah.
Dude, as we were looking, I just searched Brett on TikTok. I see the 11,000 followers.
Do you?
Yeah, and I don't know why I have 11,000 followers. That's why TikTok.
Hit yourself. Don't say that. What do you mean?
No, like I know the app inside and out, but I don't create that great of content. I had a couple of videos.
You have a video that has 3 million views.
What?
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
How do you not know this? Aren't you guys supposed to be like best friends?
We've actually never even met in person.
Soon.
Not even kidding. I'm not even joking.
Wait, really?
Yeah, we've never met in person. So maybe we should do the Bird Dog store. Should be the first time.
Oh my God, dude. I'd be honored to be a part of the first meet.
Brett and I just got connected. And
how'd you guys get connected?
We have a ton of mutual friends.
Okay.
I was gonna say,
yeah, Brett, you tell your version.
But yeah, so like I basically put online. So I had a different podcast, and I do producing for a couple of podcasts, but I basically put on Twitter, you know, is anyone looking for some podcast producing or video editing? And an old camp friend of mine, his brother is friends with Johnny, reached out to him. He called me, and it was a quick fit. I mean, it's the power of social media.
Yeah.
But we realized we were a quick fit, and now I've been doing the interviews with him, and I do some of the social, and you know, it was a good match. Yeah.
It's a really cute story.
Yeah. I like it. That's
it actually
awesome.
Is honestly, it is.
Yeah.
But Kale, I want to go into like a quick hitter segment that we do, and it's called the Matzo Ball Minute, but you know, I'm not, whatever, fuck it. you know, saying that to the non-Jewish people we have on here, they don't, you know, their reactions are always different, but just some like quick hitter. I mean, you can honestly take as long as you want. It usually takes like fucking 10 minutes, but okay. We'll start off with this one. Favorite clothing brand besides Bird Dogs?
That's a good question. Favorite clothing brand besides Bird Dogs?
Maybe in a different space if you don't want to.
Yeah.
I know.
You don't have to do a competitor. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. Honestly, like, I love – the reason I, like, love Bird Dogs is because,
oh,
like –
oh, God.
What? No, I'm not going to say Bird Dogs. I'm not gonna say what else do I wear? Like, this is a tough – I mean, dude, all of our competitors, like, make really good shit. So, like, if you're one of the brands I love Lululemon. I love Aloe. Like, they make incredible Aloe, like, yoga too. Like, they make really, really great stuff. But I also I'm also a huge outdoors, like, skier person. Mm-hmm. So, one brand I love a ton, which is, like, makes the best, like, apparel for, like, skiing outdoors, is a brand called Flylow. It's FLYLOW. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of, like, more like us. They're kind of a nitty gritty startup. They're in, like, I think they're in Jackson Hole, Wyoming is where they're located. Cool. But they make just, like, unreal ski jackets, really cool, like, snow pants, hats, you know, like, mittens, stuff like that. So that's a brand I really like.
There you go. That's a good answer. I'm not a skier myself, but Brett, I don't know if you are.
I like it, but I'm not good. It's a great trip every time. All right, Cal, question. Matzo Ball Minute. What is your favorite bar in New York City?
Ooh, this is a good question. We recently discovered, I feel like every answer is probably basic. Me and my roommates recently discovered Carol Place. Do you know Carol Place?
I know it. I don't think I've been there in like 5 years.
It's in Greenwich Village. It's right next to Red Line. And I was,
oh, I love Red Line.
Yeah. So I was explained to me Carol Place as Red Line Runoff. So, like, if you don't want to wait for the Red line, you go to Carol Place. But it's actually been – we've gone a few times. It's super fun. There's never a line. Like, awesome. It's also, like, it's a restaurant, and then they clear all the tables out, and then it turns into a bar. But that bar right now has been really fun. I mean, like, everywhere to go out kind of sucks right now in New York because, like, it's so packed.
What's the other place next there? Like, Whiskey Town or something? Is that right there?
Pirate Bar.
There's Whiskey Town in the East Village that's great. It's like they just play like classic music and people are dancing on the tables. I don't know if that's what you're talking about, but you should go there.
No, not Whiskey Town. It's not Blue Haven. I can't remember. I think I know what you're talking about.
Where do you live in the city?
Yeah, so I literally just moved. I used to be in the lower, so I lived in the East Village, then I lived in the Lower East Side, and now I live in, like, technically it's Soho, but it's like Soho, Greenwich Village area. Okay. I live on McDougal Street.
Six spot. Like,
right. Wow. Yeah, the location's sweet. It's a sick location. We got, like, just priced out of our apartment. We got, like, a sick COVID deal, and then they raised our rent like 60%. We were like, jeez. Right.
Yeah.
Fuck things left. But I live with three other guys. There's four of us. We're probably going to live together until we're like 35.
Rainier FICOs? Dogs,
guys?
No, it's too much. I can't do the full on Bird Dogs live with the Bird Dogs guy thing. I love those guys to death, but I think I don't know how long I would last at the company if I live with them. They're a little too what's the word? A little too goofy for me sometimes. No, I live with just college friends that are like just some of my best friends from home or from college.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite like Bird Dog item name, because they all have unique names to them?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I love, my favorite names are like the pants names. So I don't know if you guys are familiar, but they're basically all like mock names of like famous business people.
Because I got the email before, like the
So it's like Kevin Buffett's, Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, Bezos.
The Bruce Wayne.
Ernie Musk.
Ernie Musk's. So I think those are always super funny because like we just like kind of like shit on like Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk and stuff like that. They're just like really funny stories. Like the Jeff Bezos one is like, he's CEO of the Amazon River, not actually Amazon. but yeah, I think those ones are my favorite. The shorts names are all just like so ridiculous. Like they teeter. Some of the shorts names like teeter a fine line between just being like slightly offensive or not.
So that's what gets my attention, though. Like, I first came across Bird Dogs actually through Pardon My Take, probably. That's probably where I first heard Bird Dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were advertising for you guys for a while.
Yeah. So, like I said, like, that was kind of like one of the first things I did at Bird Dogs was I, like, bought Pardon My Take ads when I was, like, 20.
That's awesome.
And that was, they kind of helped. I mean, Pardon My Take, I partially owe for getting me my job, because, like, once we did that, it was really like, it kind of like hitting that Barstool audience really helped us kind of like expand.
Yeah. That's what got me.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to know. Always good. Those guys are freaking studs. I love those guys.
The two of the, honestly, the five of them, like, I could listen to those guys talk about nonsense for fucking hours.
I
know.
I mean, they do talk about nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
that's also like a genuine partnership. Cause like, that's like sort of just their vibe. Like, you know, they're great guys and they get people to check things out, but they do like mortgage advertisements that just don't come across. So I think the Bird Dogs with them was genius.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like one of the, it makes like selling ads to podcasts and working with podcasts for us is super great, especially working with shows like that, because like, it's a product that they all like and wear. And so it makes it so easy to sell. Mm-hmm. So it's that, I mean, such like a seamless partnership, but like, it also makes podcasts like hard to scale. Cause like, if you're only marketing to like, you know, 30-year-old men, like you can only go so far. So
yeah,
it's good and bad, but no, those guys have been great. And Barstool's helped us like immensely, just like become a little bit bigger than we were before. So they do that with a lot of brands.
It's funny that you say scaling to like 30-year-old men. You know, I always like, obviously, whenever my girlfriend says, what do you want for like your birthday or for anniversary or whatever, I'm like, give me fucking Bird Dogs. Are you going to ever have like female clothing?
I hope so. You know, like if we have female clothing, that means like something went right, I think.
Yeah.
I
don't know if the girls like the line or they're like men do. I don't know if that's like a gender thing.
Yeah, it's a good question. You may need to like change the fit a little bit, for, you know, the package area, but, I think we can make some awesome woman stuff, but like the brand itself is such like a male oriented brand right now. Yeah. Just it would take some transitioning and probably a little bit of like watering down in some areas and hiring a few more female employees. But hopefully one day we'd love to see Bird Dogs, you know, become, I mean, of course, like huge. That'd be awesome. But
yeah,
for us, it's like one step at a time. Like we still don't know what we're doing. So.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I want to ask you one last question just to wrap it up. Then I'll give you a minute to plug whatever you want. But if you can go back and talk to your 15-year-old self, what kind of advice would you give him?
Ooh, I love that. That's a great question.
Thank you.
yeah, I think 15-year-old me, I mean, I was so, and it's not a bad thing, but I was so like enthralled with, you know, like sports, like so heavily. And I think sports are great.
I love how you said it though. Sports.
Yeah. Ugh. Sports. I sound like someone who's like, ugh, sports. But yeah. No, I was so enthralled with sports and kind of like didn't let myself open up to like all these other really cool things I could do until I got a little bit older. And like, so for me, I would totally have pushed myself to like focus in on like the stuff that I like really actually enjoyed, which was like, you know, doing the theater stuff and taking a few more risks and trying to be more creative, and also just like it kind of ignoring, like for me, like in college, like ignoring all these like, you know, pressures that come from your peers and your friends and shit like that. Like it was like, I mean, working at Bird Dogs, I mean, now it's obviously a pretty like stable job for the most part, knock on wood, but when I was leaving there and going to go work for Bird Dogs, I mean, it was, you know, three and a half years ago, I was like, ugh, like who the fuck knows what's going to happen. So luckily I was still willing to take that risk and like work for a smaller company and not take the route of going to work at some massive corporation or something that was a little bit more secure, have a 401k match and shit like that. But, you know, I was lucky and like worked hard and like took a risk that ultimately is like, I think like already paid itself off tenfold. But yeah, just like do what you want, I think is like super important. I know it's like cliche, but even for like the small microcosm that is like your career is just like, you know, like take a risk, work for a small company. You're going to learn way more always. But yeah, I think that's kind of it. That's no, pretty vague, yeah. But
no, that was like so not vague at all. That was a great answer.
Yeah.
I was gonna say Johnny put you on the spot with a tough one, but you kind of knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. had to fuck with him a little bit.
Yeah, no, 15-year-old me was such a shithead. I'd probably say like smoke less weed too, but
but you wanted to sound sophisticated first.
Yeah, a little bit.
I love that. But before we let you go, is there anything you want to plug? Obviously, like, you know, follow you on Instagram, Twitter,
yeah, TikTok. Yeah, trying to boom my professional acting career one step at a time. So follow me on all those. No, but guys, thanks for having me on. It would be, yeah, dude. And it'd be great to like meet you guys. Hopefully you guys can meet in person. I found it shocking. You haven't met, you guys have unreal chemistry.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Good luck with this. And hopefully, you know, you guys continue to do this. This is awesome. I'm jealous, dude. I would love to like, having like outlets like this is like, you know, what gets, you know, not only through the day, but excited about the next one. So it's cool.
Yeah, dude. No, thank you for saying that. And we would definitely, I mean, I don't know if I'm speaking for you here, Brett, but if we could like set an RSVP or like, you know, set a reservation for the Bird Dog store and come try on some shit and drink some beers.
Dude, anytime you guys
want, I'm there.
Anytime you guys want, like, just let me know and we'll all go to the store and drink beers.
That'd be sick.
Yeah.
I'll get your number after this. I'll make like text or something.
For sure. Totally.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome, boys. Cool. Well, it was nice to meet you guys.
Take care, Cal.
I want to thank our new friend, Kale Schwartz, once again for joining the show. A lot of fun to talk to him and hear about how Bird Dogs was built from the ground up. I'm a huge fan of Bird Dogs. For those of you that have never worn them, go check them out. We'll give a free ad. That's how great they are. I literally love Bird Dogs so much. And I'm hoping someone gets me Bird Dogs for Hanukkah or Secret Santa or whatever that may be coming up. I know people give gifts around this time of year. So if anyone's ever going to give me a gift, just get me some Bird Dogs. That's all I need. But speaking of gift giving, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Mindset Wellness CBD. For those of you who don't know them, they're a brand new full spectrum CBD company. I guess they're not brand new because they've been around for a little over a year now, but I love them. I use Mindset Wellness gummies almost every day. I love the happy gummies and the calm gummies. It's great to combine that mindset to be happy and to be relaxed at the same time. So go to mindsetwellness.com and use our code LATKE10, LATKE10 for 10% off of your order, plus free shipping, and check them out on Instagram at Mindset Wellness CBD. Don't forget to use our code LATKE10 for 10% off and free shipping. That's going to wrap it up for this week's episode. I hope you guys all enjoy the rest of your Hanukkah. We got a great episode, our 100th episode coming next week. So I want to thank you guys, you know, everyone who listens week in and week out for listening to us for 99 straight episodes. It's going to be really cool to post our 100th one. So looking forward to that next week. Love you guys, and I'll talk to you soon.